This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today, I had a super fun conversation with Izzy Seidel. I'm sure you guys are going to love today's episode. We talk all about her experience running at Northwestern, growing up with her sister Molly, who I'm sure you guys are familiar with. She's already been on this podcast. Their dynamic growing up, becoming a content creator, working at Tracksmith, living in New York City, and so much more. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Before we hop into the conversation with Izzy, I want to touch on one of my favorite sponsors ever, Inside Tracker. To live your healthiest, longest life possible, you need to understand what's going on inside your body. Inside Tracker goes beyond generic blood work by revealing a more personalized reference range for each person, what they call the optimal zone, to assess precisely where your health is optimized and where it's not. I actually just recently got my blood drawn again with Inside Tracker. As you guys know, I have high cortisol, and I'm sad to inform you guys that it is still high, but we are trending downwards. Some other really insightful ones that I saw were my ferritin is really low. It's 20, which is not good. For me, you know, usually it's like 40 is pretty good for me, so 20 is pretty bad. So I've started supplementing with iron. But Inside Tracker was created by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics, and they analyze your blood, DNA, and they analyze your fitness tracking data to help you live healthier longer. Basically, on their app, you get a daily action plan with personalized guidance on the right exercise, nutrition, and supplementation. Like for me right now, I'm focusing on omega-3s because of my LDL cholesterol is high as well. So stuff like chia seeds, flax seeds, olive oil. Also, you can add InnerAge 2.0 to any plan to calculate your true biological age and see how you're aging from the inside out, which is really cool. For a limited time, take 20% off their top selling ultimate plan if you're in the US or Canada. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma or use code Emma20 for 20% off. That's insidetracker.com/Emma and code Emma20 for 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Linked in the show notes as per usual. Now let's get into today's episode with Izzy. Okay, Izzy, I'm excited to have you on the podcast. I feel like it's a long time coming, you know? Had your sister and now it's your turn. So
I know you're just holding out.
Yeah.
Very excited to be here.
Yes. Okay. To get started, do you want to just give us a little bit of a rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Yes. So my name is Izzy Seidel and I live in New York City. I am a content creator. And I focus a lot of my content on like running and lifestyle and fashion. And for most of you listening, you probably know me as Molly Seidel's sister. So that was like a horrible description of myself. But that's me.
That's not a horrible description. That's funny though. Maybe you haven't met her. Lydia Keating, do you follow her?
No, and I want to meet her so badly. And I actually saw her run in the marathon, the New York marathon that was this past weekend. But we also have mutual friends. And I'm just like, there's so many people that I want to meet that I've not yet met. So yeah, maybe we can make that happen at some point. But I saw she is coming on the pod or is on the pod.
Literally, the episode got released today. It's just funny the way you just described yourself. I'm like, I feel like that was almost to a T, like Lydia's exact same description, minus Molly's sister. But no, it's just funny. I feel like as social media grows, there's like more people popping out in the running world, and it's exciting to see.
I will say, when she followed me on Instagram, I got very excited. So I was like, I love you.
Yeah, it was really cool. I talked to her on Tuesday. It's Thursday now, so like 2 days ago, and we chatted for literally 2 hours. That was the longest episode I think I've ever had on the podcast.
Very well, just you wait.
We'll see what we get into today. I feel bad though.
Longest yet.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'm like, I feel like an hour and a half is like too long for a podcast, personally. Nah. But
I love popping in a podcast, walking around the city. The longer, the better. I'm like, I don't want it to end. So
yeah,
we'll see how long this goes.
Yeah, that's funny. So you moved to New York, I think immediately when I left, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. And I was so excited because I remember, so I moved here in October of last year. So I just hit my 1 year mark, but I knew I was moving in probably like August. And I was like, oh my God, like, and I didn't obviously know any of my New York friends that I now know, but I followed that whole like Brooklyn Track Club squad, I would say, from social media. And I saw that you were living there and I was like, I'm so excited to meet her. And then you moved.
Yeah. And then I left immediately.
And then she was gone.
Yeah. What brought you to the city?
So I originally moved for a job and I did that up until May of this past year. And then I took the leap to full-time content creating, quote, in May. So I moved here. I was working for Tracksmith in Boston before that. And then a lot of people like thought I didn't have a job. They just thought I was like running, I guess. But I worked for Tracksmith and then I quit that job, got another job at a menswear company and then quit that job in May. So
okay. So you moved from Boston to New York.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So it was one of the most chaotic periods of my life because I actually lived out of a suitcase for like 3 months. But we made it work and we found an apartment.
Yeah.
And now I'm also moving again. So we love it.
Are you moving just to a different part of the city or a different apartment or what?
I am trying to initiate a move to Williamsburg, which I never thought I would say this early on. But I, being part of Brooklyn Track Club, most of my like social circle, I would say, is in Williamsburg / Manhattan is like starting to stress me out a little bit, not in like a bad way, but like, I think I need to remove myself from it, be in Williamsburg and then like have the option to go into Manhattan. So
yeah. What part of the city do you live in now?
I am like Lower East Side, Lower East Side. I like to say Nolita, but it's like really Lower East Side Chinatown. So it's great spot. It's tiny. Like my bedroom is truly a closet that just has a mattress in it, but we love it. It's still great. It's the New York experience. So
the true New York experience. I've seen some crazy apartments on like TikTok, like 200 square feet for like a studio. I'm like, what is this?
I don't know how many square feet mine is, but it's so little. There's one window that makes my room legal. My roommate has the nicer room. So.
Legal.
There are skylights, luckily, on that fifth floor walk-up. Guys, we're living the dream in New York City.
Yes, love that. So what made you want to move from like to New York? You moved for a job, but was it like specifically for the job or what?
I never thought I wanted to live here. And I loved Boston. Boston is an amazing city. I would highly recommend living there if you're like have any inkling to live there. But I visited New York in the spring of 2021. And this was like still COVID times. Boston, I will say, was super shut down during COVID. There just like was not a lot going on. And I visited New York for the Goggins Challenge with Chris Chavez.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I remember watching that.
And Zach Clark from The Bachelor. And I actually did not know Chris at the time. Like I literally went to, he had asked Molly and me to do it. And Molly was like, no, I can't. I'm literally training for the Olympics. But Izzy will do it. And so I went and did this challenge. Essentially, we ran like 48 miles in 48 hours. And I had only really been to New York like twice before. Hadn't really seen it. But I just had like the best time during this grueling running experience. And really only saw like the West Side Highway, but like really just like loved the energy, and the city was so much more lively and open. I was like, maybe I should move to New York. So then I like really started looking at jobs. I was just feeling kind of stuck in Boston. So started looking at jobs, ended up getting a job like right before I had to tell my landlord if I was going to re-sign my lease. So then did not re-sign my lease and moved here. And that's how we got here.
Yeah. Were you in Boston for like a year?
I was there for 2 years.
Okay.
So I moved there because my sister was living there and I had no idea what I was doing with my life. Ended up getting a job at Tracksmith, worked there for 2 years, and then made the jump. So
nice. I feel like Boston for some reason does not intrigue me. Like I was there for like 10 days.
I will say, it did not intrigue me either. I moved there against my will. I actually did not want to move there. But Molly was like kind of in a funk. She wasn't running super well at the time. She had a deadbeat boyfriend. Sorry.
Oh,
and
oh. Calling her out.
And I was like, okay, like I actually couldn't get a job out of college. I went to Northwestern and then I went to business school and I could not get a job out of college. So I guess where you go to school does not matter. And Molly was like, you don't have anything else like going, like might as well just move to Boston.
You're a loser, so just come.
Yeah, you suck, actually. Loser. So I moved there without a job. And then like worked my way. I started in retail at Tracksmith. That's like at the time that was like the only way to get a full-time job there. So I just like worked my ass off for like the first few months that I lived there. We moved to Fenway. So Molly and I lived together. And then I got a full-time job in December in marketing at Tracksmith. And then the world shut down like 2 months later. So it was super fun.
Love that. So then were you and Molly living together through COVID?
Yes. So mm-hmm. So Olympic trials happened in February. We were living together at the time in Fenway. And so then like world shut down. That was like a crazy experience. And Molly kind of would go back and forth between Flagstaff, because it was just like the ideal place for her to train. Unfortunately, Boston is not at altitude. And so she would kind of go back and forth. That first year, we definitely were like mostly there. But then we moved to Cambridge 1 year in. And then essentially Molly subsidized me living in a 2-bedroom by myself, because she just kind of like picked up and went to Flagstaff. And I do think a big reason I decided to move was like Molly bought a house in Flagstaff in the spring of last year. And it really hit me. I was like, wow, Molly is not coming back.
Yeah.
And that was sad because we were like a dynamic duo, I feel like, in Boston. And as much as she like drove me insane living with her, she was also the perfect person to live with. And it was just, yeah, it was like sad realizing like people were kind of leaving. And so then I left too.
Yeah.
But I love Boston. It's a great place.
Yeah.
I learned to love it very early on.
Yeah. I feel like you have to when you're living
there. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, I guess we're stuck here.
Yeah.
But although it doesn't seem like the most intriguing place to go, I would go. I think it's better to live there actually than like visit. It's a very livable city. So,
okay.
Because I've lived there before and I was like, but living there was great. So,
yeah. I was there for like 10 days in January of 2019. And it was like the days I was in staying in Cambridge in like a little bed and breakfast, and it was blizzarding like a lot. Like it was like,
yeah, probably.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, and I feel like it's just a very historic town, you know, like, and I'm just, maybe I'm just ignorant. I don't know. I don't really know anything. So I was like, I don't really know if this is my vibe, but it's a beautiful city. Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything against it, but.
I do love that it's very historic. It's very just like pretty. And then you go to New York City and there's trash everywhere. I remember when
I saw all the trash and I was like, this is where I belong with the scum on the ground and the rats.
Yes. Yeah. I would say like Boston definitely is prettier, like 100% prettier. Yeah. But New York is like pretty on the inside. So, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Great. Have you and Molly always been super close? Because I'm very interested. I mean, I have a lot of sisters that also like ran close in age, you know? Yes. So have you guys always been, you know, the dynamic duo?
Yes, I think we always have been a good dynamic duo. It's funny because we also have a brother. I have a twin. And a lot of people don't know about him. He doesn't not run.
But that's like my brother too. I post him on my Instagram once.
Wait, you have a brother?
Yeah, once or twice a year he comes up on my Instagram. And then everyone's like, you have a brother? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fritz is the most underrated Seidel. And it's honestly kind of like, I love that he like doesn't run because he just like owns it. People are like, do you run? He's like, nope. Yeah. He'll go for like a 3 mile run and is like, I'm good.
That's like same with my brother.
I would say, so not only are Molly and I super close, but I would just say like overall, I'm very close with my siblings. We all got along from day one. I would say Fritz and I definitely like butt heads a bit more when we were younger, but for the most part, like we're all very close, and the running thing definitely, I think, like brings Molly and me even closer, because we just spent so much time in high school, like running together. And then, even like when she went off to college, I think that we both share that like psychotic running, that need to run, it really brings us together. And now when we are together, like we obviously always run together, living together made us much closer. So, we are truly best buds. So.
Yeah. That's cute. I feel like that's like an ideal sister relationship.
Very
Especially
when ideal.
You're so close in age. I feel like it can get competitive and stuff.
Yeah. So I have a lot of people ask me like, was it like really hard, you know, like being her sister? And absolutely not, because I think people need to look at it. Like I would not be running if it was not for her. She's older by 2 years. So, I had been a field hockey player in high school, and that's actually what I wanted to play field hockey in college. And everyone was like, Molly's so good at running, like you're probably good too. And so that was really the only reason why I started running, because like she was already doing it. And I'm just like more of a competitive, Molly like truly just like loves the sport. And I'm just like a competitive person. So I just liked winning. Not that I was winning everything, but I liked the outlook of potentially winning. So that's kind of where like the running stuff came in. But she has like always been a huge inspiration, and like it has been so fun being like along for the ride, especially with what has happened over the past, like I guess it's like 3 years now. Like my life is so much more full, and like I have so much to thank her for. So it's never been competitive. I just have never felt competitive with her. She's like in a league completely ahead of me. So I'm not even close at all.
Yeah. Maybe that's almost better though. Cause then it's like,
exactly. It's like, it's not even like it is a race. Like there's no race. So
yeah, that
I'm
makes
not
sense.
Part of this race.
Yeah. But then you ended up running in college. So
once again, inspired by Molly, I would like, I looked at running in college as a way to like go to the school that I wanted to go to. I definitely was not like, I want to be in the number one program. And, I actually almost went to Notre Dame, which is where Molly went. But I ended up liking Northwestern more. But I remember Molly went to Foot Locker, ended up winning it. And she, like, that day, like, announced that she was going to Notre Dame and, like, got a scholarship. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. I want to do that. So once again, like, that was when I was like, maybe I won't play field hockey in college. Maybe I'll run. And that's what I ended up doing. So were
you already running, like, cross country at this time and doing field hockey?
Yes, because we went to a school that had, so my graduating class had 23 kids in it, including my twin brother. And Molly's class, drum roll, had 13 kids in it. It's shocking that we have social skills.
Yeah, I was like, how are you normal?
Yeah, which I would say I've become much more social since my high school times, but we went to a really small school, so they were like, everybody do every sport that you can, because we literally don't have enough people to, like, fill the teams. And our field hockey team was actually pretty good, but Molly was, like, the only person on the track and cross country team. We didn't even have a team, actually. She, like, started it. She had to start running through our church because our school was like, no one wants to run. And then she was like, good. And they were like, okay, fine. Like, I guess we'll get a coach. And so they hired the coach that had been coaching her at our church. And then I, like, slowly started, I would just do the races, but I would not go to practice. I would just go to field hockey practice and the races. But once I, like, I quit field hockey my junior year, that's when I, like, definitely had a breakout season because I started training. So
yeah, like, you weren't just cross training with field hockey and then going to races.
It's like, wow, it's crazy when you, like, actually train for these races, what it can do.
Yeah.
So then I transitioned just to running. So
was it sad to give up field hockey, especially because you were thinking about doing that in college?
It honestly was, like, at the time, it was, like, one of the hardest decisions of my life.
I'm sure.
Because I would say, like, all of my friends were on the field hockey team. Like, field hockey is such a important sport at our school. It's, like, a very niche sport, but that was, like, for women, that was, like, the sport to do. And I was, like, also a key player on the team. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but
yeah, I was like, flex
this season before. So it was like, it sucked for them because they, like, were losing me and all of my friends were on the team and I was, like, no longer going to practice. And my coaches actually, like, made me sit down the team and, like, get in front of them and tell them why I was quitting.
Oh my God.
And it was so hard.
That would be horrible. Like, tears immediately, like, tears babbling.
There were tears. And I just remember when I ended up signing, like, doing my, like, official signing day, years later than when I was a senior, like 2 years later, one of the coaches, cause she was also the Spanish teacher. One of the field hockey coaches came up to me and she was like, Izzy, I always knew you made the right decision. I was like, did you know? That was a very horrible, horrible situation I was put in. But I think I did make the right decision. So,
yeah, I mean, it seems like you did. And okay, we were talking before this and the world is so small and this will just put it into perspective. So Izzy went on a recruiting trip to Wake Forest, which is where my sister Ellie went. And Ellie was Izzy's host on her recruiting visit.
We put this together before we started recording, but I feel like I've always known you through social media because I followed Ellie for, like, years, like a very long time, and stayed with her back when I was a little senior in high school. Loved Wake Forest. I just wasn't ready to move to the South, but it was a great place. And your sister was a great host. So maybe she remembers me. I don't know.
I'm going to have to ask her. I'm going to ask her after this podcast and be like, do you remember someone by the name of Izzy?
But yeah, that was a throwback, I would have to say. So very small world.
Yeah. The like elite, whatever you classify as elite running world is so small. Running. Everyone knows everything. Everyone knows everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all connected.
Yes.
We are all connected.
Like
2 degrees from any runner, honestly. If you are within the sport of, like, somewhat elite running, you are connected to everyone. So
yes. I know you guys are really ingrained in this conversation with Izzy and I, but I have a brief little intermission here to talk about a product that I use literally every single day when I go work out, and that is the sponsor of today's episode, Khoros. I wear my Khoros Pace 2 every single time I go out for a run, bike, swim. I actually just did a triathlon, and I use their triathlon setting to record it all on the watch. I specifically have the blue steel colorway. My friend was also rocking the white colorway of the watch with the silicone bands, and I will say we looked very stylish together. Better than everything else though, the Khoros Pace 2 GPS watch is so easy to use. So if you're someone that's looking to get into GPS watches, the Pace 2 is the perfect option for you. All you have to do is press two buttons and then you're off and running. It has a built-in heart rate monitor. It obviously tracks your distance. It also tracks power, like wattage. So if any of you guys are like super data oriented, the watch literally tracks your power when you go for a run. So, and syncing from the watch to the Khoros app and then Strava is automatic and it's instant. Super lightweight, you never even feel it on your wrist. Stylish. Also the battery life, phenomenal. 10 out of 10. I've never seen a watch that holds this much battery in my entire life. I can go on a full on trip, vacation, and not bring my charger and the watch will still be alive and working by the end. It's also the perfect holiday gift. And right now, if you go to khoros.com and use code COLDBREW, you get a free accessory with a watch purchase, which would make it a phenomenal little bundle gift for a friend or one of your favorite fellas. Just add the accessory like a band, a charger, or a piece of apparel to the cart before you check out and you apply the code COLDBREW and then you get that accessory for free. All the details are in the show notes, but again, khoros.com and use code COLDBREW for that free accessory. Now let's get back into today's episode with Izzy. Well, how was your like college experience overall with running? And
it was, I would say running wise, not, it wasn't anything spectacular. And it's funny because like I definitely tried very hard in college and I just wasn't like, I'm just not what like Molly is, I would say. And I'm like, okay with that. But
well, Molly is an anomaly also. Yeah. It's like you're comparing yourself.
Molly's just like in a league of her own.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I would say like Northwestern's team, they actually have gotten very good as of recently. So they ended up getting, right when I graduated, they got the coach from that was previously at Wisconsin. And I loved my coaches in college. They like, I had a great experience, I would say, honestly, like probably as good as it could have been. Cause I feel like I hear people have like horror stories, not to like scare anyone that's listening to this, but I do think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I chose Northwestern because that was a school I wanted to go to. It wasn't because it was like the running program that I wanted to run for. I took my like advice to anyone listening, like if you're taking official visits, the things that were big for me was like, I really liked the school. I really liked the girls just like as people on the team. And like, I actually had a different coach when I got recruited, but I liked the coach that they then brought in. It was my sophomore year. So it was just like, luckily I connected really well with a lot of the people there. And although I never like went to nationals, I definitely like got better as a runner and had a very positive experience. And Northwestern has amazing resources for their athletes. So I kind of felt like a superstar. I even did a fifth year there. Like I liked it so much. And I accomplished nothing as a runner, but I got a degree out of it. So that was all I needed. And they have this insane athletic facility. It's like a Hunger Games like dome that overlooks Lake Michigan, and like the locker rooms are crazy. And the resources there for the athletes were just like really, really amazing. So good experience overall, I would have to say.
Jeez.
I wasn't good though.
I mean, I would say results don't really matter in the long run, especially if you're not like trying to be a professional athlete. Like,
yeah,
I feel like the experience matters more and that you walk away feeling like good and not mentally unwell.
Yes. And I will say, I'm almost glad that I wasn't like really good in college because there was never the thought in my mind, like maybe I could go pro. Like I was not even near that. And I think that there are a lot of like runners, men and women, that if they're kind of on that cusp of like being good enough to potentially go pro, they're like, I guess I'll go pro.
Yeah.
And I never like, I'm somebody that could never be a pro runner. Like it would, I would go crazy. I would be an anxious ball of nerves all the time. And I think my problem in college was that I had a lot of performance anxiety. Like I trained with our top girl, but I did not race with our top girl. So like we had a girl on the team that was running like a 15:35 K and I did all my workouts with her. I never ran a 15:35 K. So unfortunately, so I just like was not good at racing. And like, sometimes you just like realize that when you get to college. So, but I'm glad that like, I wasn't good. Cause then I never went pro. So
yeah, that's so funny.
I'm a content creator.
Yeah. Well, same. It's funny that you say that, that you mentioned that, like, there's a weird isn't the right word. There's a specific group of people that are just good enough to like maybe go pro, but it's not like they're not going to be getting, especially like a big money contract. It's like, maybe you'll get a stipend and some clothes. And I mean, I guess maybe I could have been in that category, maybe, but I don't, it was the same thing where I didn't really have.
You were like definitely kind of on that, like in that group. And I feel like you made the right choice to not go pro.
Yeah. It was never in my, I don't know why, because I was like good in high school and stuff, but I never had the dream of going pro. And I felt weird being on the Oregon team because I feel like most people did. Everyone. So it made me feel like, it made me feel like an anomaly where I was just like, I don't know why I feel no desire to run professionally. Maybe because like, I don't know. It's the same thing. Like, I don't know how well I would have done being a professional runner, like having my entire life revolve around it. I feel like I would go insane. But then also it was like, I wasn't good enough to get a bunch of money or anything. So it's like, I would have been struggling for many years. So there is like a weird group of I keep saying weird, a specific group of people.
No, but it is weird. It is. And I feel like you kind of need to be in it to like understand it.
Yeah. It's really hard to explain.
And it's crazy too, because like, honestly, my sister was kind of in that. It's like such a risk because my sister was in that position for like a few years because she was on top of the world, her senior year, having just won like cross country nationals. She was getting essentially going to get like insane offers from these companies. And then she got injured and just could not get healthy again. And her like earning potential dropped drastically. And she still was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I know. And like, Molly's one of those people that like, I just have a lot of faith in. She is like one of the toughest people I know. And I knew it was going to work out for her. It was just kind of a matter of like, when is this going to work out? And she, the injury thing was like tough because she kept getting injured. And when you're injured, like, it's like, you can't do your job. And that's such a risk that you take where like Molly almost like left when we were, when I first moved to Boston, she actually was looking at like day, like just like jobs that she could like a 9-to-5 job. Cause she was like, I don't know if this is like gonna be it. And luckily she ended up qualifying for the Olympics, but it's like such a, that's not like the typical, trajectory. And I think it's like tough that I think a lot of athletes like have a hard time just realizing like, just because you're good doesn't mean you have to go pro. Or like, just because it's your like passion doesn't mean you need to make it your career. So, but running is kind of a hard thing to give up. Like, I still can't give it up. So
yeah, I think I would say 90% of my teammates still run, like competitively too. I just went to a wedding.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
Wow. But damn. That's because I like coming from a program where it was like at the time, nobody was like, we didn't really have many people going to nationals. I have a lot of teammates that like really stepped back from the sport, but they do it recreationally. And honestly, I'm like, how can you do that? Like, why can't I do that? Because I, the one thing I have a hard time giving up is like, I'm still very much like motivated to like, I love the feeling of being in shape and being able to run fast. And I like hate feeling out of shape, which I'm very out of shape right now, but I'm like constantly just like trying to like, I'm still trying to be a better runner. I would say I still have like goals as a runner and I just like can't give it up. And I'm glad that I can like, this is just more like my passion project than my job. But I think like, I kind of envy the people that are able to just like hang up the shoes and like not look back.
No, I definitely agree. And I had that time period, like after college, especially where even my younger sister, she committed to college to run. She ran for a year at SMU and then quit it altogether because she just didn't like it. But I envied her because she seemed like she had such an easy transition out of running and just into the normal world. And I still like kind of envy her, but for me, I feel like it was more, I was kind of forced to like become more of a recreational runner because I like had not gone through like the full puberty cycle and everything. So my hormones were so messed up when I left, maybe not so messed up, but like, I just needed to stop running because of my hormones.
Yeah. It can kind of fuck up your body. Sorry if I swear there, but
no, you know, you're fine.
Like running, especially when you put like it, you know what I love honestly is that like so many of my friends now in New York did not run in college, and it's really cool like seeing their perspective on running because I am so jaded of like the whole just like the what like although I loved running in college and I loved the experience and I would not change it, like it really does something to you. And I would say like, don't do it if you're not totally like, if you are not gung ho on like running or doing a sport in college, don't do it. Because
also, if you're not like, if you don't feel like, mentally stable, don't do it either.
Yes. Yeah. Do not do it. Cause I had plenty of teammates that quit during college or just like kind of checked out mentally. Because a lot of them actually, I will say I'm very glad that I did not start running until I was like older than a lot of people who like ran in college because I wasn't burnt out. And Molly was the same way. Like we did very light training in high school compared to like what like we do now. And I knew a lot of girls that like hammered in high school. And I think a lot of girls are doing that now, like power to them that like everyone is running insane times, but I'm like, I don't know if my body could sustain that. Like that's a lot.
No, I mean,
not for me.
No, but it is interesting. And I think it's going to be really interesting to follow like people's careers moving forward because training has changed so much than like when you know, you and I were in high school. Like people are training way harder than I did.
Like there are high schoolers that are training much harder than like I am training. There are high schoolers that are training like pros, honestly.
No, that's what I mean. And like, it's just so different, but it is going to be interesting to see how that affects people mentally and physically, because mentally, like if you're training that hard already and you're not, you know, like my teammates and I would stop and get ice cream from McDonald's on our runs. Like, where's that time period in someone's life now?
Where is that? You know?
Where's the
why
fun
isn't
part?
This happening anymore?
Like, it's fun to run fast,
like,
but
kind of key to the training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so everyone's too serious these days. Just chill a little bit, you know. I'll just say I'm glad that I was in high school like what was that, like 10 years ago?
No, literally versus, same. I say that all the time.
Yeah, literally 10 years ago versus like today, or like that I already had my college experience. I just don't think like I would be able, which who knows, like if my body just like is in a world of hurt all the time now, but I like don't know if I could handle like what these girls are doing these days. It's like kind of crazy, so I don't know, man.
I don't think I would have been able to handle it mentally. Like I was
no so do it if you love it. If you don't love it, don't do it.
Yeah.
that is my advice.
Yeah, that is good advice.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, how are you doing now, like mentally with everything? Okay, so you're injured, I saw.
Yes.
Your knee.
I will say now I've had such a weird up and down trajectory since graduating college. When I graduated, I was like, I'm going to take time off. I took 2 months off and then was like, never mind. And when I moved to Boston is a huge running city. And working for Tracksmith, all of my coworkers were runners, all of my friends were runners. Everyone was a former collegiate runner. And running was just the culture there. And then COVID hit and I had so much time on my hands. And I was living with Molly, who runs 120 to 30 miles a week. So I was that's normal.
That's doubled. Normal behavior.
Yeah, it's not normal, guys. Let me just say it is not normal. But I doubled down on the training and I was running insane mileage. I was doing very hard workouts. I was in the best shape of my life. I was running way faster than I had ever run in college. And was honestly just physically felt great. And I look back at it, I'm how did I sustain that? And I just didn't get injured. I wasn't doing any strength work. I was running 80 miles a week, with two hard workouts a week. And it was crazy looking back on it. I'm I don't know how I did that. But then it all came crashing down and I got injured. Mm-hmm. And that honestly was kind of an impetus to move, because I was down in the trenches. I was just so sad because my whole social life revolved around running in Boston. And when you can't run, you can't be social. I guess maybe you could, but for me, it was very hard. And since that injury in the winter of 2021, I have just been chronically injured ever since. And I recently found out that I have Lyme disease, which I think I got about a year ago. So that is a little bit of an explanation, but this past year has been the hardest comeback to running of my life. My body just cannot sustain what I so easily could have done back when I was living in Boston. My joints just are always in pain. I feel like an old woman, but my knees are really bad, unfortunately. And I'm just trying to get through this period where I don't really know what to do. But we're just taking it a day at a time. So
that's all you can do.
Recommendations on the Lyme disease, let me know.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, how do you treat that?
It's I guess not funny, but ironic. My dad also has Lyme disease, so I kind of have a little bit of a roadmap. So I just took a month of antibiotics, which is a very long time to take antibiotics.
Oh my gosh, you're starting to
regret. But I will say the antibiotics did cure a lot of my stomach problems, because I think it literally killed everything in my stomach. I had a lot of stomach problems the past year. But I took antibiotics. That's supposed to make you feel better. There was 1 week where I was ooh, I definitely do feel better. And then it just kind of tanked again. So, but my symptoms are mostly just really bad fatigue, really bad brain fog, and then joint pain. So I essentially have arthritis in my knees as a 26-year-old. And there's no way to get rid of it that I'm experiencing. So, but my dad, he also coincidentally has the same exact knee pain in the same knee, same spot. So I don't know if it's the Lyme attacks our bodies in the same way, but he has a lot of voodoo supplements that he takes that apparently helped. And he actually got rid of Lyme, and then he got bit by a tick again and got it again. That's how you get Lyme. You get bit by a tick.
Yeah.
So he is bad luck. But that's, I'm just trying to, navigate this interesting period of life.
So
but I will say, or pretty much it's just like, now that I know that I have it, I'm like, oh, like I can chill a little bit. Cause it's like, it's not like I'm just like lazy. I'm like, something's wrong. But there was a long period where I was like, am I just like slow now? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Do I just suck or what? Like,
bad at running now? I don't know.
So yes. I mean, that is nice to like know that what's going on. Yeah. But like, how do you know that you get rid of it?
That's the thing that I don't know how, like, you can continue to get like your blood tested. That's how I found out. It was like through a blood test. But it kind of can like linger in your body. It's just like tough to get rid of. It's crazy that we don't have like a vaccine for this, because your pet can get vaccinated for Lyme disease, but you can't. So yeah, crazy. And I know so many people that have it.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, on the East Coast, I feel like, yeah, every other person has Lyme disease.
Very, very common. And a lot of people, I'm from Wisconsin, and so many people around where I live have it or have had it. So it's just like, it sucks, but this is just all part of my crazy life, you know?
You know, it's a, you're just adding like a little spice to your story.
You know, great content angle. No, it's not. It sucks.
New content relatability angle. Hey, yeah, you never
super
know.
Relatable. I'm constantly in pain. Oh. So that is where we're at, unfortunately. But hoping, like, I'm really just hoping that like somehow I get rid of it and then just have like a huge fitness boost. I don't think that's gonna happen, but cross our fingers.
Yeah,
so
you never know. Never say never.
You never know. Maybe I'll go to the Olympics too. Probably not though.
Never say never, you know?
Yeah,
maybe I will too. Time. I'll see you there.
Yeah, we will be there. I will see you in the Olympic Village.
So how did you get into like making content stuff?
Like, I'll preface that I am someone that has always been like very design driven. I like, before doing this like content full time, I worked in marketing. And I also was a photo shoot producer. So I just like have a very good eye for content. And so like when I was a producer, that was like, nothing was done on an iPhone, really. It was all like hiring photographers, doing like organizing and executing photo shoots. But I just had always had like an eye for it. And then obviously my sister grew like a very large following very quickly. And I think a lot of people, and you probably get this, like a lot of people think it's so easy to grow a following, and it is not. It really is not. And I think a lot of people think that like every follower I've gained is from my sister, which I do think in the beginning, 100% it helped. But I also like noticed, like I acknowledged that there was an opportunity, and I took that opportunity, I would say. So when like, obviously Molly and I were living together, it was so easy to like, we were this kind of like dynamic duo. So much of my life was running. I was working at like a cult following company. And I just like kind of would chronicle my life and notice that like a lot of people started following me for that. And then I actually had like an identity crisis when I quit my job at Tracksmith, because I was like, what do I do now? Like, my whole life is like being an employee at Tracksmith. But I kind of just chugged along with like doing content. And I then did my first like paid content with Outdoor Voices. And that was like kind of a like an unlock for me, I would say, because it was the first time that I realized like, oh, this is like a job. And it was definitely just something that was like fun for me and like supplemental at the time. But I noticed that like I kind of had a niche, which was like running, but also like fashionable running, and like somewhat relatable. Like, I'm not somebody that is like winning like world championships. I'm just like a normal person, and also kind of gave a glimpse into my sister's life. But essentially I just like kind of just really worked at it for a long time. And like, I still don't even have that large of a following, but my, like what my job is, which I think a lot of people don't understand, is that like my value is that I can create content for companies. And like, I create my own content as well, but I'm just like a marketer at heart. And like, I know what looks good. I know how to make content. And so like, that's essentially what I leaned into. And New York is a great place to like be a content creator. I would say I never would have thought, like, if I lived in Boston, never, but New York is like a place to do it. That's not why I moved to New York, but it ended up like being an opportunity. And I actually thought I was going to do it maybe like I wanted to give it a try for like a month and just see like, okay, what can I do in like 1 month? And like, if it doesn't work out, I'll just like go back to like a corporate job. And now I am like 6 months in. So that's kind of how we, that was a very long-winded answer, but that's how I got into content. A lot of people ask me how I get into it. And I'm like, that's kind of it. But one thing I will say is, don't try to be a content creator right off the bat. Like, I found so much value in working for companies and learning as much as I could, and then taking those skills and putting it into being like a content creator. Cause I think a lot of people underestimate what goes into it. And you like 100% know, I have a lot of respect for like how you manage it all, because like Instagram is already so much for me, and you have like Instagram and YouTube and TikTok and your own company. I'm just like, how?
Oh, I go insane every day. You know, my brain is like, oh, my brain is scattered in 45 different directions. It's hard to explain to people, but like, yeah, my brain is so scattered. That's why my cortisol levels are super high, because I feel like I just never am resting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do
it. Yeah, but I
do. Okay. It's exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's interesting though, you made a couple good points where like, I don't think people should start off, especially like when it comes to making money. Like, I don't think you should go into like any sort of content creation to make money, because you're going to hate your life. And then also like having skills working at other jobs, like in terms of like marketing and stuff, I feel like has been helpful for me too. Cause like before I, like when I started my YouTube channel, I was also like interning at Nutso, which is a nut butter company. Like, so I did like social media internships. I worked for Run Gum when I started my YouTube channel, like, and then I did a couple freelance things, like after I graduated and stuff. So it was really insightful, honestly, to like get different perspectives before doing it full time. So yeah, I like that point that you made. And then also, it's interesting the difference between someone who's an influencer and a content creator. And I think a lot of people like don't know the difference. And I honestly use them interchangeably, which, because I think I just hate saying the word influencer, though I definitely am an influencer. Like, I am like part, whatever, content creator, if someone uses my content, whatever, but like, I don't get paid specifically to make content for like brand usage. You know, I get paid to post on my accounts. And it sounds like your main source of income is to make actual content for brands so that they can use it on their accounts.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. I love that you do make the distinction between content creator and influencer, because it realistically, like, sure, I can joke like, yeah, I'm an influencer. I think anybody on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube can be by definition an influencer. There are plenty of people that have influenced me to probably buy something regardless of their following. But what I like specialize and what I realized I was good at was that I could like make content that companies use. And so a lot of times, like when I do brand deals, like when I did something with Nike in the summer, and a lot of that was posting on my own channels, but I've worked with them a few times and it turned into me actually like, I will make like, essentially it's what we call like assets for them to use for marketing purposes. So I was like getting served with ads on Instagram that like I had made, which is like kind of funny, and everyone was sending them to me. But it's like, that was like, they use that content or like that marketing collateral, to then use however they would like. And so that's like when I first worked with Outdoor Voices, it was like, I didn't have to post on my channels. I did because I like wanted to, and I was proud of the content, but like the main, like job was to create content for them to use for a product launch. And I think that's what people don't understand of like, that is what a content creator does. And you really don't have to have that many followers to be a content creator. And I think I was lucky because I also like, having worked at Tracksmith, And then the next company I worked at was called 10,000. They're a menswear brand. And I worked with a lot, especially at 10,000, I worked with a lot of influencers. And so I was able to like learn a lot from them. I learned how influencer marketing works from the other side. And I also, I would say one of the most like Tracksmith was a really valuable company to work at in terms of learning about like aesthetic and a niche. Because it is the most niche company ever. And it's so niche. And either you love it or you hate it. And there really isn't a lot of in between. And I think people need to realize too that like a big part of being a content creator is having like a very specific niche. And mine is running and fashion, I would say, and like being somewhat relatable. And when I went freelance full time, a big thing was, it was funny. I went for a run with Dana Giordano, and she's like a very good friend of mine from Boston. And she also she's a podcaster and also does content herself. And one big angle of my content before I went full-time was that I was Molly's sister. And Dana was like, Izzy, you gotta like be your own person. Like you're not Molly's sister. And I think that that was like a really important thing that I like change that I made to like become my own like self as a content creator. Because now I do sometimes like in like niche environments, I will get recognized. Which is like a very weird feeling. And I actually get most recognized for my meme account that I created, and which was like very just like that account was a joke. And it is now like what resonates with people the most, because I realized like people loved it. So I was like, we're gonna lean into this. And I actually am able to monetize that account as well, which is like crazy. So we love that. It's looking at the opportunity and jumping at it.
Yeah. It's crazy how much like things adapt over time. I mean, even like you just said, like where you had to kind of rebrand away from being Molly's sister and being your own person. And then capitalizing on your meme account. Like it's just so odd, the ins and outs of working on social media. I feel like this is probably really insightful to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't know the behind the scenes of things or like different opportunities or whatever. You know, I've given my experience on it, but it's interesting hearing other people's, you know, path and career path and like, through social media.
So many people think it's so easy, and honestly, and I'm not trying to be like, it's so hard. But I definitely didn't think it was going to be as hard as it is, like as I'm experiencing. And honestly, I don't plan on being a content creator forever. I will say like 100%. It's very hard for me socially, because I am someone that loves connecting with people and I love having coworkers, and I don't have that right now. And it's like, I miss like the camaraderie of like being in an office sometimes, or like, I love having a boss tell me what to do. I hate being my own boss. Like when people are like, I want to be my own boss, I'm like, no, you don't. Like try being your own boss for one day. It sucks.
No, I was talking to Lydia the other day, I was like, we talked about it on the podcast, where I was like, it's nice, you know, every once in a while. And again, I love my job, whatever. I've obviously been doing it for a long time, but I'm like, I think, people don't really understand. The freedom like is super nice, but then it's also like suffocating. Cause I was like, you know, for a week, if you wake up and you don't have anyone telling you what to do, I'm sure it feels nice. But then I was like, try that for 4 years, where you wake up every day and you're like, what do I do today?
What do I do?
Yeah. And no one is telling you what to do. It becomes like, it kind of drives you insane, where you're like, I wish I just had someone to tell me what I'm doing is like, or like what to do. Or I talk about this with some of my friends sometimes, where I'm like, I truly wish I just had someone telling me that what I was doing was right or wrong. Cause like, I never have that guidance. Feedback. Yeah. I don't have any feedback other than like people, like my fans or whatever, or like analytics, but I'm like, it's not the same as like,
it's very hard to know. Yeah. Cause, and I do think also like a lot of times when I do like deliver content to companies, like I kind of appreciate the ones that are like, actually, can you change this? Because there's so many times where they're like, cool, amazing, like love it. And I'm like, but like,
are you sure?
Like, like I could do better probably. But I miss like having, like, I think constructive criticism is very valuable. And you really don't get that other than like the trolls on like social media. Yeah. And that's hard. Like I really do. Like I'm someone that follows direction very well. I think one of my greatest strengths is actually executing other people's visions. And I can't really do that like when I'm just doing my own social media, but that's why I was like good as a producer, because I worked with like, went both at Tracksmith and then at 10,000, I just worked very closely with the creative directors. And essentially my job was to like make their vision come to life. And I'm very good at that. And now it's like, well, I guess it has to be my vision. And like, I don't always like
my vision. What is my vision?
What's the vision?
Yeah.
So it kind of sucks. Or I'm like, I can't execute. Like I'm seeing it like this, but I can't make it like this. So it's tough, guys. Think a little bit before you decide to like double down on being a content creator. But it's a tough life out here.
Yeah, it makes me sound like I'm like complaining about like the first world problems. There's so many pros and there's a few cons, all right? So
Yeah.
It's just hard
to explain. But I will say it's like, it's really interesting, like talking with my sister about it, because like she is somebody that also like technically is a content creator. Like she works with a lot of brands, but her aesthetic is so different, and like brands aren't working with her to make pretty content. Like they're working with her to like with her personality and like her following. And for me, it's like brands are working with me because like I make pretty content. Like,
yeah, because they want the ads that'll catch people's eyes. Yeah.
So there are different types of content creators out there. So like really just know like who your audience is, like what your value proposition is, and like lean into that. So that's the advice to all the listeners out there.
Yeah. Do you have any like goals for what you want to do with it?
I actually... like, it's funny because with the meme account, that is actually like where I see the most potential. The meme account is called Sad Girl Track Club for people that don't know. And that is what I get recognized most for now. And that is what I get the most positive feedback about, people being like, wow, I love this. And that like, because I realize that like so many people really, it like resonates with a lot of people. So many people want merch. Like an overwhelming,
I had so many people like in the question box talking about merch.
Yeah, so many people want merch, and so I'm making merch, and Sad Girl Track Club is something that I'm genuinely really excited about. And like I love doing. Like today I just spent like 30 minutes making memes on my phone, because that's part of my job now, I guess.
It's a hard life out here.
Hard life. I'm like, what would be funny and self-deprecating with a raccoon meme? Also, if people are listening to this and have never seen the account, it's raccoon memes. That poke at running humor. It's not even that I'm like obsessed with raccoons. It's just raccoon memes. And so I just like, and I made this, I think this is a great example of like, of how like really leaning into like, when you see opportunities, like go where the opportunity is, because I made this account as a joke, like truly a joke. And just people really liked it, and they want more, and they want to like buy into this brand. And so I'm like, hey, if people want to buy into it, sure, I will sell it to them. Like, so I want, like so many people want like shirts or sweaters and stuff. So hopefully I'll be able to do that. I want to turn it into something more. I don't know completely what that will be, what that will look like, but if the people are asking for it, I'm going to give it to them. So, and like, I actually now am working, it's exciting because I'm working with some companies on content with that account, which I never thought would be like a possibility. Like my mom does not understand it. She's like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the raccoons. I'm like,
you don't have to, mom.
This account could potentially pay my rent. So... And I love that it's like really genuine. It's just like, and nothing about like, I love that that account has nothing to do with my appearance.
Yeah.
Like another thing people, and I don't know if you experience this, but like, I don't think being an influencer / content creator is the best for your mental health in terms of like looking at yourself all the time.
Looking at myself and hearing myself talk. Every day.
I hate it. Yeah.
And
just analyzing. Like, I literally hate this. And I love that this account has nothing to do with how I look. And it really lets me like show my personality, with my redeeming personality. And I like, I just get, I'm way more excited about that account than I am about like my personal account. So that's what, I'm hoping to potentially turn that into something. And I will say, I actually am potentially, I'm not like jumping, like I'm going to wait for the right opportunity, but I actually do think I'm going to go back to like a corporate job because I miss it a lot. And this is advice to people out there that like being a content creator is not always like, I think to some people it is the best job in the world, but to me, I realize it is not. And
because I don't think a lot of people like understand what truly goes into it, especially long-term. Yeah. Like if you're planning, if someone does this for like 10 years, it's crazy what the job ends up like becoming. I don't know.
Yes. And I think that's the goal, is a lot of like influencers or content creators, like they usually get like a following and then they turn that into, it's like, I love that. Like I have this like very large group of people that are like depending on this content that I'm like putting out, and they, and it's like changing, maybe it's changing the medium of like what that content is, but like still entertaining those people. And I like, I want to continue doing that, but I don't see it being Instagram forever. And it's also like now with social media, like all these platforms are constantly changing, and like it's really hard to balance all the platforms. That's why I'm like so impressed that you're able to do that, because like TikTok, I can't. I tried it and I was like, this is not for me. Like, no. And I can do one platform. That is it. And envy. I'm just like, ugh. But then it's like, people are like, you're not on TikTok. Like you're missing out on opportunity. I'm like, I know I am, but like my mental sanity could not do that. And it's just not my thing. I'm just better at Instagram, and the aesthetic of Instagram is more my style, and I'm going to keep it that way. So, but I will say, like over these past 6 months of like being freelance, I use it as a huge period to just like learn as much as I could. And that meant like posting a lot, making a lot of content. And like, maybe some people are like, wow, that's so annoying, she posts so much. But it's like, yeah, because it's an experiment. I'm like trying to figure things out. Like that's, I think like people need to look at content from like the marketing and business side of it, and look at it less than just like face value. So there's so much that goes behind it all, and I'm trying to hack it and I can't hack it. So, but raccoon memes, maybe
you can hack them.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
the people want.
Yeah. I love people that like go off the beaten path. You know, I love people that like just try something different. Like, even though you say that you're not going to do it forever, it's just cool that you're even taking the risk to do it for however long you end up doing it for. I find that really cool because I'm the same type of person where it's like, I'm taking risks all the time.
I think it's like, it's cool because like, I love that I do get to like influence people in a positive way, hopefully. And it's awesome that like, I mean, as somebody that has consumed a lot of your content, like I love it. I think, do you know that one of your TikToks inspired me to book an impulse trip to Eugene for World Championships? Oh. Fun fact, it was your TikTok. I was like, Emma did it, so I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, my FOMO like influenced you to book a trip as well. Love that.
I'm the queen of FOMO also. And it's like, it's stuff like that where it's like, I think some like it was kind of an interesting like full circle moment this past weekend with the New York Marathon, because this is a very niche environment where all of the runner nerds are gathered in the city for one weekend. But 1 year ago, I would say like not a lot of people knew who I was other than like baby Molly's sister. And this year, I went to like Allie Feller's, she had like a live podcast that she did on Friday night. And I, like, obviously there are a lot of like running fans there, and the panel was like other content creators. But as like after the show, I got approached by so many women being like, oh my God, I love your content. And like, that never would have happened to me 1 year ago. And it's cool to get that type of feedback of being like, oh, like what I'm doing isn't completely stupid. Like some people like it. And like, I love that I can help people or like entertain people in some way. Essentially, like we're entertainers. And it's just like it's a very like weird feeling. And like sometimes it's very weird to get recognized, but it also, I do look at it like, oh, this is like from their perspective, like it's like cool for them to like be able to like see these people that like inspire them on social media. So
yeah, I mean,
so it's like, if I saw you in person, I'd be like, oh my god, it's Emma Abrahamson.
Okay, see, but then it's so, yeah, like you said, it's a weird feeling, but then it's also, yeah, because I'm in my own little world every day, you know, I see I have however many followers or that many people like watch my story, whatever, like my photos, but it's just like a number. But then when someone comes, yes, up to me in person, they're like, oh my gosh, I love your stuff. It's such a different experience, and it makes me feel like, yeah, fulfilled almost, because I feel like, yes, I don't get that day-to-day interaction of people that I'm, I don't know, that people that follow me. Yeah. So it's like cool to actually see it in person.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I like obviously would see it a lot when my sister first like really had her she essentially became like an overnight sensation. And it was nice because then, not that like a pandemic was nice, but it was like, nobody, like she kind of got to live in peace because it was like, we were all quarantined. And then once the world started to open up again, it was like insane the amount of people that would like inundate her trying to like sit, or like we would be going for a run along like the Charles River, and like so many people would either like yell or like it like a lot. I feel like she gets like weird interactions, but usually what I like, a lot of weird ones, honestly, more
well because she just casts a wider net, you know. It's like you and I are here,
and like she speaks to like all runners. I feel like, yeah, every runner, like one of my favorite things to do is like, if I am on Instagram and I see like anyone that has any relation to running, I love to go into like who they're following. And they're like, always following Molly. But I feel like when I have people say stuff to me, it's more like, it's way more niche because it's like people that are following me for a very specific reason. Like people that it's more female, but like I've got like a 60-40% like female to male, okay, ratio. So not bad. And with it's like, it's cool because those people just like, they understand you maybe like a little bit more, I guess, because they're like, they feel like they know you. Not that like sometimes that can be a little creepy, but like they have more shared interests, I feel like. And one thing that I do love, especially in New York, I've had even like girls at the gym. I had a girl turn on, she like kind of waved to me and she was like, hi, like, are you Izzy? Like, I love your content. And she was like, I have friends and they're like running redhead sisters and they love you too. I was like, what? And I always, like, whenever somebody says hi, I always ask them like, what is your name? Like what? And I try to have a conversation with them because I would much rather them like have an experience of like talking to me than like I've had people ask for pictures and it's like, I would much rather you just have a conversation with me. Cause like, I would I think having a conversation with the person is like more valuable than like a picture that's going to be in your camera roll somewhere. So I don't know, that was long winded, but that's
no, bad. I mean, I like, you make very good points and I agree like wholeheartedly, especially about the conversation thing. Like I like, and I just like to connect with people too. So
yeah,
it's nice to
I want to know how did you find me?
And, yeah, exactly. I'm like,
I would say, like a lot of people now, the majority say like have found me through my meme account and they are like, I love the memes, or like, oh my god, like the raccoons. And honestly, I get the most enjoyment when people say that that's how they found me.
Yeah, so. Of course. I mean, especially if that's like what you're most passionate about, I feel like it's, that makes sense.
Yes. Or like I met someone that works at Strava this past weekend, and I had said like, it was at an On event, and one of my friends was like saying like, oh, this is like Molly's sister, and it had come up that I was like, yeah, I like run this meme account called Sad Girl Track Club, and she was like, oh my god, you run Sad Girl Track Club? So it was like, wow, this is cool. And I love that like my face is not attached to that, it's just this like,
yeah, exactly, see that, no like, one even knows who runs it, there you go. Yeah,
so that is that, we love
amazing.
It
amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. It's really cool to talk to someone else in the space too, because I feel like I don't interact with that many people.
Each other. Yeah.
Yeah, we get each other. It's the same with Lydia.
Like, we have similar experiences probably where it's like, and one thing I wish was that I could connect like more with other content creators, because I actually really don't have a lot of friends that are content creators.
Oh, me neither at all.
And it's like, you look at all these influencers who are like all hanging out, like doing stuff together. And I'm like, where are like those girls for me? Like, I don't really have a lot of, like, New York has an okay amount of, I mean, there are a ton of like fashion people, but not a ton of like running, not a lot of people in my niche. I feel like we're all spread across the country. And we need like a meetup or something, a big collab.
Yeah.
Because I want to meet these people. And I feel like we all probably like, we definitely all have like the same sentiments about like how like weird this career path is. And like the things that we experience on a day to day. And like, I feel like we just get each other.
Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like New York is a hub. I feel like I'll be there at some point. We'll run into each other at some point.
You gotta come, and like we can all hang out with all of our mutual friends, and it'll be a time.
Yeah, there
I'm shocked that like I feel like we have. There have been a lot of times where you're here and I am either gone or just like have not run into you. So it needs to happen at some point.
Yeah,
and
because I feel like when I've been back.
When do you come? Do you ever come to New York? Do you come back at all?
Well, I was there in like March, and then I was also there in June. I don't have. But like June was like a quick business trip. Like I was the only person I saw was Cole Hester, if you know him.
Oh, I do know Cole.
Yeah, that was the only person I saw on the entire.
Cole was one of the first people I met in New York, actually. So we know him.
Yeah,
mutual friends, too many. But there's so many people that miss you on the Brooklyn Track Club. So
I'll have to pull back up again. Maybe when the weather gets a little better though, because now it's getting all gross.
No, so if you're in New York, you have to come visit. I'm trying to get Molly out here as well. And that would be a time. So, or you know what I'm doing? I'm going to Flagstaff soon. So you can go to Flagstaff.
Dude, the amount of people that have told me to pull up to Flagstaff, I'm like, geez. Like, I feel like someone could come to my apartment, kidnap me, and drag me away to Flagstaff because of how many people have said, pull up. I'm like, what am I going to do in Flagstaff? You guys are all professionals. What am I going to do? I'm literally don't train right now, really.
Flagstaff is a weird place because it's just like everyone there is like impressive at running. And I remember once I was in a long run and I was like, that guy looks so familiar. And Molly was like, yeah, that's Mo Farah. I was like, oh.
See, that's what I mean. It's like I pull up and I feel bad about myself because I'm so washed.
Yep.
And everyone's like, what are you doing here?
We'll be in the back. We'll be like bringing up the caboose.
Yeah, I'll be bringing up the rear, dropping myself immediately from any run I go on.
Yep.
Well, maybe, so, you know, maybe I'd pull up the flag. I don't know.
I don't know. I will be there. So it is an open invitation. Be like, Molly, I've invited people to your house. I'm sorry.
Well, she already invited me when she came on the podcast. So
I know I listened to that podcast. I was like, I want to go to Flag. We could just have a party out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool people out there. So I'm going for Thanksgiving probably. And it's gonna be time. So get ready for all the content people. There's gonna be a lot of honestly, I was like, this would be a great content angle.
You like write this off on my taxes. Me,
but I also love the content. So
well, that'll be fun. I can't wait to consume that content.
Yeah, get ready.
Okay, I don't wanna like take too much of your time, but there were some listener questions we can cover. We already covered some of them, but
perfect.
Let's see. Thing you miss most about the Midwest.
Ooh. There's something like really quaint and wholesome about it. And every time I go home, I just like love getting like driving my dad's Ford F-150 and like wearing janky outfits, and it's like fine, and like wearing pajamas to the grocery store, which like you could probably do in New York. And I really miss cycling. I love cycling, like road cycling, and I really can't do it anywhere other than home. So, and we live on a lake in Wisconsin, which is great. So the outdoor stuff, I would say, and just like janky nature of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You can always go home, you know, you can always take a trip back.
Yeah.
City running tips.
Ooh. Well, it depends on the city. I love running in cities because I love sensory overload. I wouldn't say maybe you get like the most quality run running in a city.
Definitely not.
Especially in like New York City. But once you, honestly, I feel like it's like once you find good routes, like stick to those routes. And in, I love like New York City specifically, I love running on the bridges because it's uninterrupted. And honestly, the key to running in New York City is running in Brooklyn. Boston, amazing city for running. It's just like so built for that. And otherwise, always have a map. I always run with my phone, literally always, for that content, but also so I don't get lost. And I think like running in cities is just like such a great way to explore them. So that's kind of my tips, I guess.
Avoid, yeah, that's good. Stoplights. Yeah, I would say that's sufficient.
Yeah.
Okay, the last question I have is, what is your advice to your younger self?
Oof. Woof. man, my younger self would not expect me to be like where I am today. Honestly, I think it's like, it kind of going back to like what we were talking about with like running was not something that I like really ever thought would be, I never thought it would turn it into a job, essentially. Like coming out of college, I had a lot of like, I was a journalism major. I always thought I was going to like write for Vogue or something. And I kind of had like a crisis when I was like, I'm not running in college anymore, but like, I don't want to give running up. And I never thought that I would be able to like turn it into something. And so I'm proud of my, to younger Izzy, I'm proud of you that you turned your like your interests into a career. And I think like that I just never thought that I would be able to do that. And I'm like, who would have thought that I could like make money doing what I love? So it's all gonna work out, and maybe probably not how I thought it would, but I'm glad that it did work out this way. And the best is hopefully yet to come.
There we go. So optimism.
Yes. So I can't wait to like listen back to this in a year and see where I am. Because 1 year ago right now, I was in a very, very different place. I was living out of a suitcase. So yeah.
Yeah, that's we'll so see, funny.
But
I feel like people talk about 5-year plans all the time. Or whatever, like what's your 5-year plan?
Happening next month.
Yeah, I was like, well, first of all, I don't know what I'm gonna be doing in 5 years. Hopefully, in 5 years, I'm gonna be like married,
maybe
having kids. I don't know, but who knows? I don't know what I'm gonna be doing in 5 years. But it's funny to look back 5 years ago. I was 21, so I was like a senior in college, and I had like just started my YouTube channel, whatever. It's Oh my god, that was 5 years ago. That's but it's just so funny because I would have never expected to be like where I am right now, like doing what I'm doing, like having my YouTube channel turn into my job, like, basically.
The world is changing constantly. And that's what, when people are like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, do not ask me that.
Yeah, because I don't know.
So like much. If you had asked me 1 year ago where I saw myself in 5 years, the answer would have been completely different. So don't have a plan. Have no plan. Just go where the wind takes you, because that is, that's what I've done, and it's kind of working. So, and have a sibling qualify for the Olympics. That's all I'll say. So that's the key to success.
Oh my god!
Just do that and your problems will be solved.
There we go. That's the end quote of the episode. That's all you need in this world.
Yep.
Okay. Well, where can people follow you at?
So my main Instagram is Isabel Seidel. It's not Izzy Seidel. Isabel Seidel. That's my birth name. And then Sad Girl Track Club on Instagram. That's my favorite account. It's the best one. And follow that for raccoon memes and self-deprecating running humor. And then I do have a TikTok, also Sad Girl Track Club, but don't watch that. It's bad. And that's kind of the main, that's about it. So that's all I can manage at the moment. Nothing
that's
else.
That's all you need, it sounds like.
I don't need anything else.
I don't recommend adding like 5 accounts. Not very good for the brain.
I cannot, so.
Amazing. All right, Izzy, well, thank you for joining us. Very insightful episode, I will say. It was lovely talking to you, but to close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode with Izzy. I hope you guys really enjoyed that, being a little bit of a fly on the wall for this conversation. We talked about so many different things, and it's fun to chat with someone I've never chatted with before because we have a lot in common. So I hope you guys enjoyed. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you love the episode. It helps me out so much, and I just love reading your guys' reviews. It seriously makes my day. Follow us on Instagram at @commasovercoldbrewpod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes and submit listener questions. That's it for today, but I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.